It is March 28th, cloudy and overcast, no snow in sight today. There is supposed to be snow in sight tomorrow morning, by the way, but no snow in sight today. Not supposed to be much, but a little bit. I don't see any bright sunshine out there today. I want to talk this morning about checking your gear. In fact, let me read the first passage of Scripture, and then we'll get into some of the reasoning behind it. Luke 14, beginning with verse 27. Jesus says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who begin to see it mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else when the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Jesus says we need to count the cost. We need to sit down and take an inventory. You hear this stated in many ways. Check your gear. Get a shell count. Do an inventory. Find out what you have, what you're prepared for. It was a little while ago, but I watched The Princess Bride. And those of you familiar with the movie, after Wesley has been brought back from being mostly dead, and he's sitting there with Inigo, which is Mandy Patinkin, and Andre the Giant, and I don't remember the name of his character. He says, "Princess Buttercup is going to marry Humperdinck in a half an hour." He says, "What are our liabilities?" "Well, you can't move. It's one liability. And there's 60 guards between us and them. And we only have half an hour." He says, "It's okay, it's not going to good. What are our assets?" "Well, your intellect, my strength, or Andre the Giant's strength, and my skill." And he goes talking. He says, "It's not enough. We can't do it. If we only had a wheelbarrow." And, you know, Andre the Giant and Inigo are talking. He says, "What do we do with that wheelbarrow we had?" "Oh, yeah, we left it over there." He says, "Why didn't you include that? How about a Holocaust cloak?" And Andre the Giant reaches in his coat and pulls out a Holocaust coat, which is a coat you could put on and light on fire. It's a movie, okay? But counting down, listing the things that we have, the things that we can prepare for what we face. If you take a look at the picture on the front of the bulletin, this is a t-shirt that you can buy online, I'm assuming. You could buy at one point. I think they still make it. 5 rules of diving. Very first rule is check your gear. As we go through life, do we take a look at what it is that we have? Number 2, find water. Kind of hard to go diving without water. 3, jump in. 4, dive down. 5, don't mess with fish bigger than you. Good rules for diving, but it starts with checking your gear. Find out what you have. How you're equipped to face the things that you face. As we go through life, we have that. Do we take a look? Do we take an inventory of what we have? Or do we just overlook so many things? Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Very first thing on the top of the list, I got Jesus. No matter what the circumstances are, I'm not alone. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to all who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have Jesus. He will never leave us or forsake us. Through the divine power of God, he has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Are we checking our gear? Do we remember what God has already done? Do we look back and see where he has brought us from? I don't know about you. I should have been dead a long time ago, but God had another plan. I don't know about you, but you can look back and see where God has brought us from, what God has done in my life, how God has enabled me to stand. The fact that I can walk is a list of miracles. I got hit with a forklift. They told me I would never walk normally again. I had a soda can, full soda can, thrown from a speeding car that hit me right in the ankle. I've been bitten by a moccasin. I've been shot at. I've been stabbed. I've had an arrow in my head. God has done a lot to get me here. He's done a lot in each and every one of us to bring us to this point. Jumped off the supports for a 100-foot bridge, diving into the water, and landed flat on my back. I could not move. They had to pull me out of the water. But God had a plan. What has God brought you through? He has never left us. He has shown himself faithful in everything. And because of that, when we face a circumstance, as we go checking our gear, keep in mind, God is with us. God is directing us. God is at work in the circumstances. We are not alone. We are not helpless. We are not abandoned. Because of that, that should bring a confidence and an expectation that even though I don't understand how God is going to work this out, he's going to work this out because he's faithful. Not because I'm special, but because God has a plan. God is at work. And if we grab onto that, if we start with that as we're checking our gear, as we're checking what God has already done, as we're checking how we are equipped, then we can see that God is going to work things out. Each and every one of us have been through a lifetime of experiences, however long that lifetime is, a lifetime of experiences that brought us to this point. And God doesn't waste anything, including our foolishness. God doesn't waste anything, including our mistakes. He is still at work in our hearts and in our lives. He has not given up on us. I can look back in my life and see that that's absolutely true, can't you? Amen. The fact that I can draw breath today means God has something going on. You don't look down at your hand and see a cottonmouth moccasin hanging from your hand when you're miles from help. And then come through it with just one little bitty scar. Not requiring any medical attention, not requiring any help whatsoever, except God intervening. And not know that God has a plan and purpose. We wake up each morning, the tender mercies of God are fresh and new each morning. Any day God allows you to wake up is a day he has something in mind for you. And we can grab onto that. We can just recognize that. As we check our gear, as we check, take an inventory of what we've seen in our life. I know that God heals. He's healed me, and I've seen him heal other people. I know that God loves me because he didn't abandon me, even when I messed up. I know that God is gracious and can change lives because he's changed mine. And if he's changed my life, he can change everybody's life because he doesn't love me more than he loves you. The Bible doesn't say that God only desires 10% perish. It says he desires that not anyone should perish. That each and every person is made in the image of God, is created, knit in their mother's womb by the sovereign hand of an almighty God. We talked about this recently, the other day, last week before, How even identical twins growing up in the same household, the same exact environment, have different personalities. They're each unique. We're each unique. And God loves each and every one of us uniquely and is wonderful and merciful to us. In Romans 12, beginning with verse 3, Paul says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." In other words, don't get all puffed up. God's the one who gave you the faith to start with. God is the one who is merciful to you to start with. "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Stop right there. Taking an inventory. We're each and every one of us members one of another. You have people around you to encourage you. You have people around you who can help you. You have people around you so that you're not alone. Not only is God with us at all times, but He has other people around that we can connect with. Is it on our list? Are we checking our gear? Do we have relationships that are provided by God? Do we have people in our lives that can encourage us, that can reach out to us, that care for us? Having then, verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So we have gifts that God has given us and an opportunity to use them, an opportunity to share, an opportunity to encourage other people. "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Look at that's not a list of all of the famous top gifts, you know. That's everything we have is a gift of God, and God has gifted us and equipped us in such a way. Maybe our personality is such a way that we're outgoing, and that being outgoing is an opportunity to brighten somebody's day, to reach out to somebody. Maybe our attitude and maybe our personality is we're more contemplative. We think things through. So as we're thinking things through, do we share that information with other people? Are we encouraged by how we meet other people? Do we do that? Do we share? Do we share what we have? Do we become a blessing to others? Because that's what we're called to do. Come on up. If you're going to wait till I get done talking, you're going to be waiting a long time. So come on up and have a seat. Praise God. Actually, it's not going to be all that long. I'm not going to talk that long. But everything we have is a gift of God, and the scripture here tells us that we are to share those gifts that God has given us with one another, to put them to use in part of strengthening the body of Christ, in part of encouraging one another. Whether our gift is prophecy, as it says, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If our gift is ministry, and we think ministry, oh yeah, that's somebody standing in the pulpit. No, ministry is serving other people. Ministry is helping other people. Ministry is being a blessing to other people. If we're gifted in that, let's do it with enthusiasm, because it is a gift from God made to be shared one with another, made to reach out to one another. That's all part of checking our gear. What do we have? How are we equipped? And how can we put what God has given us to work to be a blessing in somebody else? God will make the way. He will open the door. He who teaches in teaching, it's in verse 7. He who exhorts, he who encourages, to do it. However we're gifted, whatever gifts we've been given, to use them, check our gear, make sure we have, look at what God has given us and use it for the blessing, for the benefit of other people, because that's serving God. Scripture says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your might. Another place it says, he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. That's the scary verse. I don't know about you, that's the scary one. Not doing what we know to be right, not doing what we know to be good, is a sin. That's why Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not just sins of commission, it's sins of omission. Not that we just have the omission. Not just in not doing what we know to be right, but also doing what we know to be wrong. Each and every one of us. None of us are perfect. We all need Jesus each and every day. Finally, Romans 8, beginning with verse 31. Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Going back to that inventory list, that checking our gear. God is for me. God is with me. God is for me. God has gifted me. God has given me faith. God has given me opportunity to share what He's given me with other people. God continues to guide me. We have all of these listed in our checklist. Listed in that inventory. We can check that off. You ever seen an airplane getting ready to take off and they have a checklist as things go over things? Deb and I, when we get ready to take the camper out, we have a list of things we want to make sure we've got with us. When we're going away to our timeshare, we have a list of things we bring with us. We start doing things. We have a list of things. We go over the list for that. Do we go over a list each and every day and recognize God is with me. God is guiding me. If we will encourage ourselves by knowing what God has already promised, it makes it a lot easier to face the day we have. Back to Scripture. Romans 8, verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring the charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God's the one who lifts us up. God's the one who causes us to stand. Verse 34, who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is talking to God about us, talking to the Father about us, making intercession, lifting us up, encouraging. I'm taking care of him, Lord. Taking care of him, Father. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Or the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. On our list of inventory, we are held in the love of God who will never fail. He equips us. He guides us. And even though turmoil arises, even though we face problems, even though we face people getting up in our grill, even though all of these things happen, we are not alone. We are not separated. We are not isolated. We have a God who loves us, who's promised to never leave us nor forsake us, who is with us in all things, who will guide and direct us, who loves us, who equips us, and who will never let us go. I don't know about you. I'm encouraged by that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I allow myself to forget that too. Sometimes I forget to check my gear. Sometimes I forget to remind myself, as Scripture says in one point, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Everybody else was around him, was mad at him. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Or the other day. We talked about this a little while back. Where David and his men were off doing battle, and they came back and the enemy had come and taken away the whole camp, and everybody was distraught and they blamed David for it. But Scripture says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. Sometimes we need to do that inventory. I have a God who loves me so much, He sent His own Son to pay the price for my sin. I have a God who loves me so much that He didn't leave me where I was. And he's drawing me by his Spirit, and he's changing me, and he's making me a new creature. I have a God who loves me so much, he didn't just let me die. But he says, no, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Each and every one of us have that. And we can grab onto that. We have not been left alone. We are still drawing breath. And his tender mercies are fresh and new each morning. That includes this morning. Amen. The tender mercies of God are fresh and new today. Not just a while back. Today. They're fresh and new. Today, God is merciful. Today, God loves me. Today, God is guiding me. Today, he's poured out his love abroad. He's poured out his love in my heart today. And he is worthy of my praise each and every day. And we can grab onto that and walk in that. We haven't... Well, first off, let me just say, today is the day that most of the Christian churches celebrate Palm Sunday. You'll see people riding around today with palm fronds all wrapped together, celebrating the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem the week before he was crucified. Next weekend is the day the most churches celebrate Easter. Those of you that know me know I rarely do anything that's just traditional because it's traditional. I think we need to celebrate the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ every single day. If we only do it one day a year, we're not really doing it, I don't think. My issue with a lot of the traditional things the church does is that they've incorporated things from outside what God has said. In fact, the reason Easter is celebrated next week is because it will be the first Sunday after the first full moon following the spring equinox, as opposed to Passover, which was on a completely different calendar anyway. But the Eastern Orthodox Church is one of the ones that doesn't do it that way. There's reasons why the holiday was already existed before Jesus came. Now, like I said, if we celebrate the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus every day, then we don't have to get wrapped up in it. And I don't blame or fault anyone for keeping a tradition because it's a tradition. But my Bible tells me that if for every idle word I speak, I will have to give an account. So I don't do things without thinking them through. Most of the time. Some of the time. And this is one of those things that I don't do. So I don't do a traditional Easter service. I don't do a traditional Christmas service. But I do talk about the Word of God each and every day. Amen. That being said, we're making communion available this morning. We haven't done it in over a year. The way we do communion is we'll break the bread. Whoever chooses to come up, it is a voluntary thing. Paul tells us that we need to examine ourselves and make sure we are taking communion with the right idea and the right understanding. Recognizing what Jesus has done on our behalf. And we will break the bread, and people will come up and take a piece of the bread off the plate, dip it in the wine and partake. Or not wine, it's grape juice, but dip it in the juice and partake. And it's certainly not, in these days of COVID, something that is required. But I'm not going to change how we do it just because of everything going on. That and the fact that I could not find any of the little cups. But we will be taking communion in just a moment. Which means I probably should have changed the order of the slide so we had the communion slide up there, but didn't think about that. But I want you to recognize what Jesus has done on your behalf. He came into this world, lived a perfect, sinless life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prior to his arrest. As he's praying, and it's like great drops of his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour." Jesus knew from the beginning what was going to happen. Jesus, as he began his ministry, he talked many times about how he would be crucified, about how he would be killed. He said, "Unless the Son of Man," he said, "if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Talked about how the serpent in the brass serpent in the wilderness that Moses held up, that it was a symbol of what would happen to Jesus. Talked about as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man would be in the earth for 3 days. He predicted all along. He said, "We're going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be arrested and they will put me to death." And then the disciples said, "Okay, yeah, but when you get to your kingdom, can one of us sit on one side and the other one sit on the other side?" The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying, what he was doing as he was talking. But Jesus knew what was coming. He willingly allowed himself to be taken. You remember as he was arrested in the garden, and Peter took his sword and cut off Malchus's ear, the servant of the high priest. And Jesus healed him, said, "Put the sword away." He went willingly. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was tortured. And he was crucified. And he rose again the third day as an example and as a redemption and as a reconciliation of each and every one of us to God. That he paid the price for our sin, for yours and mine, and for the next person driving down the road, for each and every one of us. But before he was arrested at that Last Supper, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Also at supper, he took the cup. Breaking bread for those of you listening online wondering what in the world's going on. He took the cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of what Jesus has done in your life and in mine, I offer the opportunity to come take communion, to share in the fellowship of the church. We don't exclude anyone. It's between you and God. What is your relationship is between you and him. Paul tells us to examine ourselves, not to be examined by others. But each and every one of us have the opportunity to recognize what Jesus has done on our behalf. And you're welcome to come.
Small.
God bless you.
Thank you, Andrew.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yep. And go ahead and bless you. Morning, Brian.
Good morning.
God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, okay.
God bless you.
Bless you.
God bless you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are obedient to the Father, that you came, that you lived that perfect sinless life to be an example to us, to point us the way to heaven, and then laid down your life on our behalf that we might be reconciled to God. Father God, we thank you for the plan that you put in place before the foundation of the world, that in the fullness of time, Christ Jesus came and died for our sins. We thank you, Father, that you call us into fellowship, that you lead and direct us. And we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.